This is Fracturing Football, where producers Jack Edwards and Noah Lichtenberg break down the latest in fantasy football news.
Welcome to the fourth show of this season of Fracturing Football. I'm your host, Noah Lichtenberg, and alongside me, Jack Edwards.
Thanks, Noah. We had another fantastic week of football, and joining us are two returning co-hosts, Luke Donovan and Spencer Fleischer. How are you guys doing tonight?
Pretty good, thank you.
Good. During today's show, we are going to look at dominant players and teams' breakout performances, as well as struggling players. And I'm going to have to start off with how I feel like we almost start off every single show, talking about Alvin Kamara. Another great week. He's has the most points by an individual through four games in history. And I mean, if you look at the rest of that top 10 list, the other players on there are like all Hall of Famers, all amazing players. You have Wes Welker, Emmitt Smith, Marvin Harrison, Randy Moss, and Marshawn Faulk. Like, this is a great list to be on. And I feel like Alvin Kamara is maybe making an argument to be one of the best players in the history of the NFL.
All right, let's slow down there a little fantasy. Now. All right. They're, I think, a year off from developing. I think that they have that young quarterback. And that's the thing with the Rams is when you're paying a quarterback rookie money, but he's still performing really well, you're able to add guys. Like the Rams, they added Ndamukong Suh. They have just ridiculous talent in every single position because they're able to not pay their quarterback millions of dollars a year like other teams have to do, like the Patriots and the Green Bay Packers in specific.
Yeah, so the Rams added Brandon Cooks in the offseason, and that was a huge pickup, and he has done amazing for them from New England.
So you shouldn't forget who the Bears also got from free agency this year, Allen Robinson. Mm-hmm. He can easily be their number one wide receiver, and Taylor Gabriel, that'll give him more receptions and an easier season.
I think that with Allen Robinson, it's just a case of he got his first score this weekend, but he hasn't been getting as many targets and hasn't been dominating like people expected him to because he had that ACL injury last year. But I think that the Bears, what I like about them is they have a lot of potential. Their ceiling is really high right now. And at 3-1, they're top of their division. And I think that that's definitely a really exciting thing for the Bears. Nobody really expected them to be this competitive, I think, this year. They're probably a year ahead, which is always a great thing to have.
Yeah, I mean, another competitive team, like, I want to talk about the hometown Colts. I mean, I watched that game. I got so frustrated. But that was great for fantasy. I was talking to someone I know whose little sister has an all-Colts fantasy football team, and that team did amazing. I mean, I have Andrew Luck on one of my teams, and I started him, and he had 62 passing attempts, his most ever. And the 40 completions that he had of those 62 attempts were the same or more than all of his attempts in 13 of his 16 games in 2016. He ended up with 464 yards and 4 touchdowns, absolutely destroying in fantasy.
Andrew Luck is one of the best fantasy quarterbacks when he's not hurt. 62 passing attempts is way too many, and I feel like if that is consistent, he will probably get hurt again. I feel like no quarterback can do that many passing attempts. I just feel like that's way too many. He's a great fantasy quarterback. Even when T.Y. Hilton got hurt, Hines stepped up, had 2 touchdowns, 63 yards in that game.
So going a little like away from fantasy, the Colts made a very bad decision in that game for going for it on fourth down on their own 40-yard line, which just easily gave the Texans the score for the win.
You guys, I've talked about this multiple times before. Dak Prescott does not have the weapons that he needs to perform, which makes the defenses focus on Zeke, and Zeke does not do as well. So I think we're going to continue to see that throughout the season. I don't think Zeke is going to end up being a top 5 running back by the end of the season.
So personally, I think how the Cowboys play reflects on how Zeke plays, because Zeke is the center of that offense, and if he plays well, that opens up the play-action pass for Dak Prescott. So for them to win, Zeke needs to have great games, and they just haven't been winning. It's because of Zeke. It's because he can't play well.
See, the thing with Zeke for me is he's been playing well so far. I think the big difference in this game was that he was getting receiving yards. He got 88 on several receptions. In PPR leagues, that's a huge thing because you're getting those reception points. But I think that he's leading the league by nearly 100 yards in rushing, and I think that that's just, as you guys mentioned, they have a good offensive line, but Dak Prescott does not have the weapons that he needs to have. And I think that the Lions have they don't scream good defense, but I think that he showed that at the very least he's one of the best running backs in the league, possibly the best rushing running back in the league, especially with Fournette out. I think he's probably his big competitor there. And if he can add in the passing in the reception department, I don't see why he can't be a top five wide receiver or running back. Excuse me, definitely can't be a top five wide receiver because he doesn't play there.
Hyde is the eighth ranked running back right now, and I feel like he's going to get majority of the targets. But then on third down, I feel like those are going to go to Duke Johnson. So I feel like Chubb's carries just aren't enough to make his fantasy value something worth having.
I think that interesting note with Carlos Hyde, though, is his value relies on volume. He has 83 carries so far this year, and that is, if you look down, that's the most you can possibly see in the top 25. And I think that he has 283 yards from that and 5 touchdowns. So he's been producing with that production. But if you say, well, now Nick Chubb is turning heads, maybe you give him a few more carries, then Carlos Hyde, I think his value significantly drops when he's not getting around 20 carries a game like he's averaging so far.
All right. So fantasy-wise, looking at Nick Chubb, what I think, if you're in a league with more than 10 players, kind of like a deeper team, and you're looking for someone that might help you in the playoffs, Nick Chubb might be someone you want to pick up for your bench until he becomes worked into the lineup more.
So I kind of disagree with you because I feel like you guys are valuing Nick Chubb way too high. He had 3 carries for 100-some yards and 2 touchdowns. That's only 3 carries. You can't expect him to get that many yards and those touchdowns every week on 3 carries.
People said that last year with Tyreek Hill. They said, well, he's not going to match this kind of this explosive production. I think that definitely that you have to look at that and say, yes, he's not going to carry the ball for 50 yards on a touchdown every carry. But he definitely showed that he has talent. He's a powerful running back who has a great like acceleration. He has all of the intangibles that you need to be a successful running back in the NFL. And that's what's going to really excite the Browns. Because you look at them, they're 1-2-1. They have that tie. Are they really going to be competitive this year? Because if not, is Carlos Hyde the guy you want to go with for the future versus Nick Chubb? You can develop him more, give him more touches. And because there's obviously the fantasy value where Carlos Hyde's the better running back right now. But 5 years from now, you're not going to be having Carlos Hyde still around. You're going to have Nick Chubb, and you want him to be as good a player as he can be then, looking at right now and how you can affect that then.
I think it works the other way. You want to see less carries out of him now, probably, and then more carries later when he's in his prime and when he's maybe running for 10 carries and 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. You don't want to waste him, give him 7 carries now for 105 yards and 2 touchdowns when he can do that on 3 carries. I feel like they want to roll out Hyde for the rest of his career, and then once Chubb's ready to step up and be a dominant force in the NFL, I feel like that's when he'll start getting the more time. Le'Veon Bell is going to be very interesting to see. They're going to give him the carries. James Conner is definitely not Le'Veon Bell. He's probably a more than serviceable running back, but Le'Veon Bell is one of the best in the business, and he's gonna be that running back for that team this year until they trade him.
Thing with trading James Conner is, first thing you can do, look for the idiot in your league, see who you want from them, and try and trade with them. If that doesn't exist, then what you want to do is people are going to recognize that James Conner's value is going down. Like, they're going to see, well, Le'Veon Bell's coming back. You can't have, teams don't typically have 2 great running backs. So then you're going to have to say, well, maybe I want to trade for a guy who I can take a gamble on, maybe. If he's still your RB1, you want a more solidified guy. But in one of my leagues, I have Ezekiel Elliott and James Conner. So I'm saying that I have Zeke, who I think can be carrying in my backfield. So then I wanted to see if maybe I could trade James Conner for a Dalvin Cook. Because Dalvin Cook is a guy who has, I think, he's really low value right now because he's had his injuries. The offensive line for the Vikings is just terrible. But I think that he's a guy who I could realistically try and make a trade for, and who would be able to possibly be a guy who could, in the future, add value for me, as well as James Conner is going to be better for the person I'm trading it to right now.
I think Dalvin Cook is not good. Like, their offensive line is just awful. A running back can't be good with a bad offensive line. That's why James Conner has been playing so well and Le'Veon is so good, because the Steelers have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL.
The Vikings will finish closer to bottom of their division than they will finish to top. I think that I'm a little biased. I'm a Bears fan, I'll be honest. But the Bears are going to roll that division. I think that they still have to play the Bears twice. They're playing the Eagles this week. I mean, they're playing the Cardinals, and the Jets should be, I think, pretty much 2 wins. But then again, they play Buffalo. People said, well, the Vikings are now 2-0. And then next thing you know, they lose to Buffalo. And I think that's the big issue with them is that, yes, you can look at the game against the Rams and say, well, this is the best team in the NFL. You can excuse that loss. Issue is they lost to Buffalo. They were losing 27-0 to Buffalo at home. That's something that I think you can't really just write off and say, well, this is a team that has a lot more potential going forward.
I feel like this team completely flipped from last year. Last year, they had one of the best defenses in the NFL. They were a running team. Case Keenum was the quarterback, but I feel like with a big deal for Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, Kyle Rudolph, I feel like that team is a passing offense that's going to score points, and it's going to be a lot of shootout games with them. They scored a lot of points against the Rams. They got shut out by the nearly shut out by the Bills. Scored a lot of points against the Packers. I feel like that's more of an offensive team.
The reason why their defense has been struggling is because their offense is struggling, because their offense can't stay on the field. Well, I'm talking about against the Bills, they had 0 points. Their offense could not stay on the field, so then their defense was getting tired, and that's why they gave up so many points to rookie Josh Rosen.